Morning, today's Daf Brachos Nun Gimel. We are on the bottom of Nun Beis Amud Beis, continuing our discussion of the eighth parak of the Masechta and the eight machloksim that exist between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding Seuda. Elu Dvarim, the Mishnah, opened up with the beginning of the parak, which is Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Beis Seuda. So when it comes to a meal, so there are eight points of dispute that exist between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and we are going through the eight. Yesterday we covered five of the eight, so that means, of course, this morning that we have six, seven, and eight to go. Additionally, we're going to be finishing the parak this morning. It's the shortest parak in the Masechta. It's 2.5 blot, not even. And so let's pick it up right where we left off yesterday. We are now going over the Nusach of Bore Ma'ore Ha'esh. At the conclusion of Shabbos, we're going to be making a brach over fire. Making brach over a fire is going to be a big part of today's daf. And so right now, we're just going to be going over exactly what the Nusach of the bracha is. So Beis Shammai Amrim Shabara Amar Rabba Bibara Kolei Amar Lo Pligi Debara Mashma. We saw a similar type of machlokas earlier in the Masechta regarding the way that the verb is going to be conjugated and whether or not it speaks to the past or to the present or to the future. So if we say bara, so everyone's in agreement that it is that this is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, which is basically what we're trying to invoke. Meaning that's the idea behind the bracha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the fire. It happens to be that we're lighting the flame anew right now. But in terms of the bracha is going on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created fire. So that'd be great. So if it would be bara, that'd be fantastic. So ki pligi be bore. So the debate that exists between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is regarding bore. Beis Shammai savre. Bore de asid lemivra. So according to Beis Shammai, bore is to be understood as something that's going to happen in the future. And Beis Hillel savre bore nami de bore mashma. And according to Beis Hillel, it can go both to the future and to the past as well, meaning that from a Lashon HaKodesh standpoint, so there's an ambiguity existing in the word bore, and it can go on future and on past as well. So it could be appropriate. Not only could it be appropriate, it is appropriate, meaning that's the bracha that we make. So Meitzav Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef notes, Yotze Or V'Rechoshech. Look at the word as it's conjugated in all these psukim. So here in the first pasuk, it's bore choshech, yotze harim u bore ruch, bore shemayim venoteim. So we see very clearly over here that the word bore, which obviously this is talking about maisa bracious, acts of creation, it's clearly talking about the past. So elam rav yosef bebaro bore kolam lo pligi debara mashma. So the Gemara says, okay, we need to redact our understanding. We're now going to say that bar and bore are both going on the past. Ki pligi bimor u maore. So over here, the debate is, we're just moving ahead one more word. So where the debate now is going to be on the next word, and it's Ma'or versus Ma'ore. So according to Beit Shammai, so how many flames exist in a flame? So it's one. So he feels that the appropriate bracha should be Ma'or. And Beit Shammai says, what do you mean? There are multiple flames that exist within a fire. And so therefore, it's Ma'ore. So the Gemara now has fine-tuned exactly what the debate is, what the point of the machlokas is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Taina Me'achah, the Gemara quotes a brisa supporting this as well. Amar Lahem Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Harbe Ma'oros Yesh Bor. So we get just a snippet, just a small piece of dialogue between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Not even a dialogue, it's just, it's what Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai. That there are multiple flames. What do you see? By virtue of the fact that we're seeing just a small piece of the argument, but you see what the argument is resting on. Whether or not that flame is considered one, which should be ma'or, or multiple flames should be ma'ore. Okay. Ein mevarchin. We are now continuing in the Gemara. Now, continuing in the Gemara, let's just quickly recap and review the Mishnah that we saw a couple days ago. The Mishnah is bringing a halacha immediately after telling us about the six machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, which we just went over, whether it's ma'or or ma'ore. Then the Mishnah rattles off a couple of halachas, which seems to be universal. And that is, I'm just going back to the Mishnah, I'm rereading the Mishnah, so if it's Ner B'Samim of Akum, now Akum over here means idolater, but doesn't seem to mean an idolater, it just seems to mean somebody's not Jewish. So you can't make a bracha of Ner or B'Samim if it's coming from a non-Jew. We don't understand that yet, but that's what the Mishnah says. V'lo al ner v'lo al b'samim shal mesim, and not on ner b'samim for the dead. We read that in the Mishnah. We didn't know what that means. We're going to explain that today. And v'lo al ner v'lo al b'samim shal avodah zarah. And you're not allowed to use ner b'samim of avodah zarah. Okay, that's idolatry. And then v'ein mevarchin al ner ad sheyusu la'orah. And you don't make a bracha on ner until you get benefit from the light. Okay, so machine gun rapid four halachas in a row. Now we're going to go over those halachas of the Mishnah. So number one, Bishlam aner mishum delo shavas. Okay, so let's see if we can wrap our heads around these ideas. So the idea that you are not allowed to make a bracha of a ner that came from a non-Jew is because, remember, when are we making this bracha Motzei Shabbos? Parenthetical note, not even so parenthetical. You know what's not, the Gemara is not going to cover? Why do we make a bracha on the ner after Shabbos? Meaning, the Mishnah assumes that we do, the Gemara assumes that we do, the Gemara never gives, the Mishnah nor the Gemara never gives a reason why we do. Okay, so I think everyone has in their head a reason in terms of why we do. Why is there a bracha, why is there a mitzvah to make a bracha ner after Shabbos? But just as an interesting note, meaning this, things that Gemara does not focus on so much are the whys. Why is it that we make a bracha after Shabbos on ner? Okay, right. Everyone's curious, I'm sure.
You introduce it with a ner, so you get out.
Okay, fine.
Well, that's assumed.
Okay, could be. Could be. Meaning the Gemara is just simply not a focus of the Gemara. Let's say it because it's true. The Gemara is not going to discuss it. So Bishlam aner mishum delo shabbos. So the Gemara says, so I understand you're not making a bracha on ner that was given to you by a non-Jew because it wasn't Shabbos. It didn't observe Shabbos. Now let's think about this, what the Gemara is saying. It didn't observe Shabbos. The non-Jew didn't observe Shabbos. The non-Jew doesn't have Shabbos. There's no Shabbos for the non-Jew not to observe or to observe. So what does that mean? So it means that the fire didn't observe Shabbos, or the candle didn't observe Shabbos. It's inanimate. Now there is that we're going to see in the Gemara and Shabbos together, and actually in the very near future, Emirz Hashem, we're going to see together whether or not your kelim, you have to be shoveis, your avadim have to be shoveis, your animals have to be shoveis. Do your utensils have to be shoveis on Shabbos? Machlokes
yes.
Between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel.
Wait, so, but for this example, are you saying that you're getting a flame from a non-Jew?
Yeah.
Or? Okay, you're not striking a match and creating your own flame at that point.
You're getting it from the non-Jew.
Okay.
So Bishlam aner mishum delo shavas. So I'm just forcing us to think right now. What does that mean? That the ner wasn't shavas. So if you look at the Rashi, second to last Rashi on the Amud, he writes mishum delo shavas mimlechas aver shaovik kochavim osem alacha leoro. So Rashi writes. I mean, it is the pshat in the Gemara. It's just it's a difficult pshat. That since the guy is getting benefit from the fire, meaning he lit the fire on Shabbos, so therefore it didn't observe the Shabbos. So v'tanya l'kamen or shalosh Shabbos yem avarchan lav ho v'nevda ba'avera, and avera was done by it. All right, so what we'll have to say over here is that the word avera is used in the not perfectly legal sense. The word avera just simply means that it was lit on Shabbos. There was no avera that was violated. It was a non-Jew who lit it. So there's no avera per se. We're using it in the sense that it was lit on Shabbos. Okay. So, Ela Besamim my time alone. But what's wrong with Besamim? Meaning, a Besamim of a non-Jew, what's the issue? I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Hacha, Ben Mesibas, Ov Tikochav, Maskinan, Mimnesha Stam, Mesibas, Ov Tikochav, Lavoda Zarihi. Oh, you know what they were doing? They were burning incense for Avoda Zara. Meaning, it was a collection of non-Jews that were together burning their incense, and it's for Avoda Zara. So, the Gemara says, wait one second. In the Mishnah, as we went through, so the Mishnah rattled law four halachas in a row. Halacha one was the Akum, and what was halacha number three? The Ovde Avodah Zarah, or the, I should say better, the Avodah Zarah. So, Hamidiktani Seifa, and that's exactly what the Gemara now is objecting to. It says in the Seifa, in Mevarchen, lo, ner v'lo, b'sam shal Avodah Zarah. Sorry. Hamidiktani Seifa, let me do that again. Ein Mevarchen, lo, ner v'lo, b'sam shal Avodah Zarah, mechal d'reisha, la b'Avodah Zarah skinan. Okay, so you're now explaining number one by using number three, meaning it's the same thing, right? And why would the Mishnah list it off as two separate items? I'm Rabbi Chanina Misura Matam Kamara. Oh, so we're going to have to understand the Mishnah in the following sense, that the Mishnah is explaining itself. Matam in Mevarchen Lo Aner V'Lo B'Sam Shal Akum Im Neshe Stam Mesiba Sof De Kochavim La Avodah Zara. So what the Mishnah is doing is actually giving an explanation for itself. Now, it is a little bit strange because if the Mishnah was really explaining itself, why is it one and three?
Right.
Well, shouldn't it be one and two? Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Or Sheshavas Mevarchen Alav, Shalosh Shavas Yem Mevarchen Alav. So if you had a fire that was Sabbath observant, a Sabbath observant fire, which again means that it wasn't lit on the Shabbos itself, so for that, you can make a bracha on it. But if it wasn't Shavas, if it didn't observe the Shabbos, Ein Mevarchen Alav. So So my lo Shabbos. So the Gemara says, now can we get a somewhat better understanding of what that means? E name, as we are now on the top of Nigim Amar Aleph. Lo Shabbos machmas malacha filu memlachas dehetera. What do you mean? It means that, let's say there was a light that was lit on Shabbos, but for a good reason. V'hatanya, or shochai v'shochola mevarchin alav. Let's say a woman was giving birth. Let's say there was a chola sheish bo sakana. So now you have to light a fire on Shabbos, right? Well, for whatever the reason was, whatever the need of the chola is. So you have to light a fire on Shabbos. So under those circumstances, you're allowed to make a bracha on that. So the Gemara says, you're right. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchok, my Shabbos sheshavos machmas malachas avera. Okay, so what it means is, and I know we said this already, but the Gemara now is giving voice. We saw this in the Rashi. And that is that when it violated the Shabbos, meaning when it was lit on Shabbos, and it shouldn't have been lit on Shabbos. Under those circumstances, that's the kind of light that you're not allowed to make a bracha over. Taina Mehacha, the Gemara quotes this with the Brisa, supporting this as well. Let's say you had a lantern, and the lantern was lit over the course of the whole Shabbos, right? Yeah, your Yahrzeit candle. So and you lit it before Shabbos. Can you make a bracha on that? And the answer is absolutely. L'motzei Shabbos mevarchin ala. Yeah, for sure. Meaning the only issue is, the only limitation is that it can't be lit on Shabbos, because then it's being wasn't Shabbos observant, and therefore you're not allowed to make a bracha on it. And what we're stretching the definition just a little bit is that even if a guy lit it on Shabbos, now again, it goes back to the point that I made earlier. A goy lighting on Shabbos is not a violation of Shabbos. He does not have a Shabbos to observe. But still, in the context of making a bracha, it has to be a flame that was lit either before or after Shabbos, or lit beheter on Shabbos. Tan Rabban, the Gemara quotes, Ebraisa Nachri Shehidlik, Mi Yisrael V'Yisrael Shehidlik Mi Nachri, Mevarchin Alav. So if I have a non-Jew who received a flame from a Jew, or a Jew who received a flame, or lit, I should say, not received, but lit the flame from a non-Jew, so that you can make a bracha on. But nachri menachri in mevarchin alav. But not from one nachri to a nachri. So in other words, you had the original flame being lit on Shabbos by nachri. And then he passed the torch on. I'm not referring to handing it over. But now he lit another non-Jew's light after Shabbos, so you cannot make a bracha on that. The Gemara says this requires better understanding. Maisha nachri menachri lo mishum delo Shabbos. So the Gemara says, well, the problem is that the flame wasn't Shovis, meaning it was lit on Shabbos. The original flame was lit on Shabbos, and even though he transferred over to another fire or to another torch, but it's coming from a torch that was lit on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, if you're right about that, Ihachi Yisrael Minachmi Nami, Halo Shabbos. Well, even if a Jew were to light his torch from a non-Jew after the Shabbos, but still the original flame was lit on Shabbos. So that we should also object to that as well. So the Gemara says maybe we're not looking at flames correctly. Maybe the correct way to look at flames is that every time there's a transfer of flame from one torch to another torch, so it's panim chadashos ba'olakan. It's a new entity. So the Gemara says if that's true, elahad detanya mosi shall have us the rishus rabim chayev. So the Gemara says yeah, but that's not true. In other words, that's not how to look at flames. Even though flames are a gas, and even though, you know, it continuously burns, but in terms of the correct halachic way to look at a flame, it's all the same entity. How do I know that? Because the Mishnah Shabbos tells us that if I transfer a flame, we're not talking about an item that's holding the flame, but you transfer a flame, it is a bit of a challenge to describe how you're actually transferring just the flame by itself, right? Flame needs something to burn on. But okay, for the purposes of making this point, let's just right now deal in the more abstract, where you are transferring a flame from one place to another place, you're chayev, meaning that is a violation of Otzah on Shabbos. Now, how does that work? Am I chayev? Masha akar lo iniach, masha iniach lo akar. Now, we know that when it comes to the malach of Otzah, you need akira and hanacha. You need to pick it up from one place and put it, the same it, down in the second place. If we keep looking at a flame as constant renewal, so what I picked up, I didn't put down. And in order to successfully violate the malach of Otzah, you have to pick up and put down the same item. So, alala olam di isurin nami isa. V'ki kamevarech, I'm sorry, let's pause over there. Alala olam di isurin nami isa. So the Gemara says, fine. So the way to look at a flame is that the flame is halachically a single entity from beginning to end. Okay, so now if that's true, so now let's go back to our discussion. Because in our discussion, we're saying that if the flame was transferred from a non-Jew to a Jew after the Shabbos, meaning the non-Jew lit on Shabbos, then he transferred it over to you after the Shabbos. So we said that's good. That's good. It's not good. In other words, doesn't your flame have in it his flame, which he lit on Shabbos? That's the Gemara's question. V'chi kamivarech a tusfasa deheter kamivarech. So the Gemara says, okay. So here's what now we're going to say regarding a flame. Halachically, how to look at it is that when you are transferring a flame from one torch to another, so it contains both the original and also tosfa as well. It has tosefis. It has the addition because now it's being fueled by your whatever you're holding, right? Your torch. And so therefore it has both the original and it also has tosefis. So, and the bracha is going on the tosefis. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, Yachri Nachri Menachri Nami. So the Gemara says, if that's true. So let's say the original flame was lit by a non-Jew. And he transferred it over to another non-Jew after the Shabbos. So then we should be fine. Because you could be making the bracha on the Tosefes. So the Gemara says, Enech Enami. So the Gemara says, at this point, you're right. Gzera Mishum Nachri Rishon V'Amad Rishon. So the Gemara says, over here it's a Gzera. Gzera de Rabbanan. Really interesting Gzera de Rabbanan. Meaning we're talking about a bracha on a fire, right? Okay, but okay, how to construct, how to make the argument of this gzera, I'm a little bit challenged, but the idea is that because it was transferred from non-Jew to non-Jew, and then I'm going to make a bracha on it after Shabbos, it'll lead to the next opportunity, I'm going to be making a bracha on the flame that was originally lit by the non-Jew on Shabbos. And so therefore, for that, the Chachamim made a gzera. Tana Rabbanan. I head outside the city limits immediately after Shabbos, and I see a flame, meaning I didn't make a, either I made Havdalah and I just simply didn't have a flame with me, or I haven't made Havdalah yet, whichever the case, I didn't make a Bari Mari Ha'esh. Now, I go out of town and I see a flame. Imrov Nachri Meina Mavarach, Imrov Yisrael Mavarach. So over here, it depends now. I mean, what kind of investigation do I have to do now as I see somebody with holding a lamp? And it's a town that I don't recognize. And it's people I don't recognize. So here you could work with the general rules of majority. If the majority of the people in that town are a Jew, so then I could say that this is now coming from a Jew, and therefore I'll make a bracha. If the majority are non-Jew, so then I'll say that this is coming from a non-Jew, and therefore I will not make a bracha. Which is interesting because generally speaking, even though we have a rov, but if you can clarify, if it's Eshar, Levarer. So generally speaking, we do say that you should clarify, but for the purpose of bracha, no need. You could just go on rov. So Hagufa Kasha Amardim Rov Nachri Mina Mavarech Amechsa Mavarech V'Hadutaniyim Rov Yisrael Mavarech Amechsa Amechsa Mavarech. So the Gemara says, where do we stand on 50-50? And there are conflicting reports of the Braisa, because inferentially I can go in either direction. I can say that, well, if the majority are Jews, so therefore you make a bracha, meaning 50-50, you don't. And then the Braisa said, if the majority are non-Jews, well, then I don't make a bracha. Meaning at 50-50, I do. So you have the conflicting inferences. So bedinu dafilu mechsa mechsa nami mevarech. So the Gemara says, well, 50-50, you do. Ve'aida reisha rov nechrim tana sefer rov Yisrael. So the Gemara says, but only for the purposes of symmetry does the Braisa present this manner. Now you have to wonder, if it's 50-50, I'm allowed to make a bracha? Aren't we now describing a suffix? And generally speaking, now here gets tricky. Is this a suffix d'araisa or is this a suffix d'rabanan? Meaning we're talking about making a bracha. So you get stuck a little bit over here in terms of trying to figure out whether it's a suffix d'araisa or suffix d'rabanan. On one hand, a bracha is a rabbinic institution. On the other hand, you are saying Shem Hashem. And if you don't have grounds for saying Shem Hashem, so it'll be a bracha levatala. Is saying a bracha levatala a violation of lo sisa Hashem Hashem l'shav? It's a machlokas rishonim. You see what I'm saying? It gets a little bit tricky. But the Gemara says, let's pull back to the Gemara. The Gemara says that if it's 50-50, you do make a bracha. In terms of the explanation of why you make a bracha, okay, so I'll leave that as an open-ended point. But the Gemara is very clear, you do make a bracha if it's 50-50. Tana Rabbanan hayimal chutzakrach v'ra'a tinok v'avuka b'yado. So if you're walking outside of the city, meaning you're just, the example over here is just simply, you're encountering somebody you're not familiar with. And it's a child, and he's holding a torch. So me, my fatherly instincts, I would say, don't play with fire. But aside from that, so are you making a bracha? So So bodek acharav im Yisrael hu mevarechim nachrihu eino mevarech. So here, do investigation. If it's Yisrael, make a bracha. If not, you don't make a bracha. So my yir yatinuk afilu gadol nami. So the Gemara says, okay, what was the detail of it being a child? Meaning, that's not the significant point. The significant point is whether it's Jew or non-Jew. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Hacha besamach l'shkiyas hacham askinan. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because it's immediately after Shabbos has ended. And gadol mucha milsa divide nachrihu. Now, if it's an adult, so it's going to be a non-Jew. Why? How did the Gemara piece those two pieces of information together? Because no one's going to be lighting a fire. Meaning, a fire over here probably means like a significant fire. No one's going to be lighting it immediately after Shabbos. You're running to light a fire after Shabbos. Okay, in other words, after Shabbos, you're taking a moment after, you know, saying Havdalah, whatever. You're not doing it immediately after Shabbos. So you could pretty much assume that if it's a fire being held by an adult, it's a non-Jew. A tinok, eimer yisrael hu ikri v'nakar. But when it comes to a tinok, meaning it could very well be. Now, his actions are somewhat random, somewhat haphazard, and it could very well be that he's holding a torch immediately after Shabbos. It's possible. So at least there are at least a possibility that this child is going to be Jewish, and if the child is Jewish, then that's fine, meaning you're allowed to make a bracha on the flame of a Jew. Tana Rabbanan Hayim Alechutz LeKrach V'ra, or Im Avak V'Akfish Kifshan Mevarech Alav V'Im Lav Inam Mevarech Alav. Okay. Now in this brisa, before I explain the brisa, let's go with the overarching idea of the Gemara, and then we'll see it in the brisa side. In order to make a flame over a Shabbos, so basically we have so far learned this morning one qualification, which is that it has to have observed the Shabbos. Okay. Second qualification. It has to be lit for illumination. If it's not lit for illumination, if it's a flame for cooking, let's say, so then you're not going to make a bracha of borei ma'orei ha'ish. The purpose of the fire vis-a-vis the bracha is illumination. That's the second big idea. And now we're just seeing that being articulated in the examples that are given. Okay, now let's go back and I'm going to read the brisa inside. Tana Rabbanan Hayam Mahalechutz HaKrach V'ra Or. So you're going to a city. Again, you're unfamiliar with the people here, and you see a fire. Im ava kefia kivshan mevarech alav. So let's say now it's really intense, right? It's a furnace. So then you can make a bracha on it because you can rest assured that it was lit for illumination. V'im lav inam mevarech alav. Otherwise, you do not make a bracha on it. Tenichada, we learned one brisa. Or shal kivshan mevarech alav. V'tanya idach ein mevarech alav. So here we have a discrepancy of a fire of a furnace. Make a bracha on it, not make a bracha on it. So the Gemara makes a distinction between beginning and end. Is it the beginning of the fire or the end of the fire? What's the difference? Rashi explains. So at the beginning of the fire, so this kiln that was lit for the purposes of making earthenware, meaning its purpose was not illumination. So even though it may give off light, I'll say it better, it does give off light, but since its purpose of being lit was not for illumination purposes, so therefore you don't make a bracha on it. Live itself, what does that mean? It means that after all the work was done, and now it was lit, they kept fueling this fire, that's for illumination. And that you can make a bracha on. Tinichad, we learned in one brisa, or shal tanur v'shal kirai mevarchan alav. The fire of an oven and a kirai, another form of an oven, so that you do make a bracha v'tan yidachem mevarchan alav, and the other brisa says you don't. Lo kasha, b'tchila halab itself. Again, we're going to make the same exact distinction. At the beginning, its purpose is not for illumination, therefore you can't make a bracha. At the end, the purpose changes to providing light, and therefore you do make a bracha. Tinichad, or shal beis hakenesu, shal beis hamedrash, mevarchin alav, etanya idach, ein mevarchin alav. So the light that was lit in the beis medrash, the light that was lit in the shul, conflicting brights is whether you do not make a bracha, morei ha'esh. So lokasha, now again, we are so influenced by the fact that we have these things called electricity. And so our shuls are already lit up. But just imagine, Motzei Shabbos, so obviously there's no light in the shul, unless you light a fire. So here, the Bryce is telling us, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Now how can that be? Lokashe hadi'ika adam chashav, hadalek adam chashav. So it depends whether there's an adam chashav in shul or not. Rashi explains, when there is an adam chashav in shul, Rashi dibra maschal or shul beitza knesses. V'di'ika adam chashav lichvodo hidlikua. Why did they light the light in the shul after Shabbos? Not for light, but for kavod. And even though it provides light, but that's not the primary reason why it's lit. and therefore you don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha on that. Meaning as part of the covenant for this Adam Chashav, they would light a light. If there was no Adam Chashav in Shul, so then why are they lighting in Shul? To get illumination. And therefore you make a bracha. That's the way Rashi explains it. There's an alternative way to explain the Gemara. You could see Tosfos for an alternative way to explain the Gemara, but I know there's a lot of Gemara coming up. Or I could say both prices are talking about whether there's an Adam Chashav. Depends whether or not there's a shamish in the shul. Chazan, as the Gemara makes reference to it, is not the cantor, it's the shamish. And if there's a shamish in shul, what does that mean? He lives there in shul. And so therefore he's lighting the light. Why? Because he wants to see what he's eating. Or let's say it's the middle of the month, the middle of the lunar month, and you got plenty of moonlight. So we don't need this light over here because he's got plenty of moonlight. So then when they're lighting the light, so therefore it's not for the purpose of illumination. And you don't make a bracha on that. Tana Rabbanan Hayoshim Be'esem Eshesh Revi'i Or Lifneihem. So now, it's Motzei Shabbos. Where is everybody? Of course in the Beis Medrash. Where else are you going to be on a Motzei Shabbos? So Hevi'i Or Lifneihem. And now light is brought to them. Meaning, and now they have an opportunity to make a Bar Me'areish. So the Gemara over here has the following question. Procedurally forward, how should we go? Should everybody be making one bracha, or should you just pass around the fire and have everybody making their own separate brachas? So So here we have the debate. Beit Shammai says pass it around. Beit Shammai says no, do not pass it around. Have one person make a bracha for everybody. We have the principle of Rav Am Hadras Melech. Now Bishlam and Beit Shammai Farshi Taima. Good. So now we understand Beis Hillel, but we don't understand Beis Shammai. Ela Beis Shammai, my time. What's the reason behind Beis Shammai? And it can't be that Beis Shammai dismisses the rule of Rav Am Hadras Melech. That is a halachic principle. Everyone subscribes to it. It must be that Beis Shammai holds that there is counter pressure pushing against Rav Am Hadras Melech. There has to be something compelling Beis Shammai to arrive at his conclusion. So my time, because every mimnei bittul Beis Medrash. So Beit Shammai says, yeah, there is something compelling, and that's Bittul Beis Medrash. And the idea is as follows. It's a really powerful idea. Is that if you're stopping the entire Beis Medrash, so I understand we could quantify that as it'll just take a second. Okay, it's a bracha. It'll take more than a second. 10 seconds? But the idea is that when you stop everything to restart the Beis Medrash anew, that's right, that's Bittul Torah. It's going to take a while to kickstart everything. Masha Enkin, when you're passing it around, obviously it's the same time interval for everybody to making a bracha, but there obviously is a significant difference between individuals making a bracha versus stopping the whole Beis Medrash. Tanya Mehachi, the Gemara quotes the Brisa supporting this as well. Shabbos Ramin Gamlil, Ayu Omrim, Marpe Be Beis Medrash, Mimnei Bittul Beis Medrash. In the yeshiva of Ramin Gamlil, someone sneezed. So it is appropriate to say some form of God bless you, depending on where you're from. So the Gemara has the term marpe, right? The Rashi, asusa, that's the Aramaic. So don't say that in the Beis Medrash. Why? Because bittul Beis Medrash. Because again, it's you're stopping the Beis Medrash, and when you stop the Beis Medrash, so then it's going to just take a while to kickstart the Beis Medrash again. It's the same idea. Saying gesundheit after a sneeze. Gilyon Hashas, Rabbi Kiva Eger over here, quotes Pirkei de Rebbe Lazer. You can see the Gilyon Hashas on the side. You got to the Gilyon Hashas from Rashi, and he writes over here: Miyom shenivru shamayim va'aretz lo haya adam chola ela im haya baderech ubishuk v'haya otesh nishmaso yotzei minichirav ash minichirav. So Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar says the following: From Adam Arishon up to Yaakov Avinu, that's many generations. Right, that is that's over. It's over 2,000 years of human history. So a person wouldn't get sick, and then their last breath would just simply be a sneeze. And then, so v'nishmato yotze, u'minichirav. And interesting, by the way, the neshama would go out right through the nechira, meaning the sneeze was actually the exiting of the neshama. Asheba Yaakov Avinu, u'bikesh rachamim v'am ribon kol amim, atikach nafshi mimenu ad she'etzaves b'ni u'v'narsai. So, and Yaakov asked the following. Here's why I need illness. I need illness because I basically need a little bit of a warning. And I need time to prepare everything. I need to give tzava, I need to write last will and testament, etc., etc. V'netar lo. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu acquiesced. Leficha chayiv adam lomer ba'atisha so chayim. Shenemar chamavetz hazel or. Shenemar atisha sov tahel or. And so that's why people say l'chaim or some form of l'chaim or labriyot or whatever, again, whatever you feel the appropriate response should be, because that basically is a reminder of this incident that occurred now some 3,500 years ago. Okay? I know. People like that. Pirkei Rebbe Elazar, huh? No, other way around. Beis Hillel, you mean? No, that's Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says everybody. Right. And so again, so yeah, you have these competing values, right? This is always how these things work. So on one hand, you have Rov HaMadrash Melech. That's a value. And Bittul Beis HaMadrash is also a value. And now it's just a question of which value is going to take precedence. Okay? That's what the Tanaim are debating. Back to the Gemara. Ein mevarchin lo never lo b'sam v'ashal meisim. My time aner l'chavru davidi. When you're lighting a fire for the mace, it's for kavod mace. And again, it goes back to the point that we made earlier, meaning that the only flame that you make a bracha on is only flame that was lit for the purposes of illumination. And so therefore, when I'm lighting for the mace, it's for kavod mace. So yes, illumination comes from it, but that's not why I'm lighting it, and therefore no bracha. Abisamim la avure rechu hu davide. And the besamim as it relates to a mace, so that's just simply to counter the bad smell of the mace. Meaning, besamim, we're going to have a similar qualification. The besamim has to be introduced so that we have a pleasant odor, a pleasant fragrance, not to ward off a bad odor. If, let's say, we were to take it out with the mace both day and night, meaning the ner, so then that's the kavan hamace. Because during the day, obviously, I don't need illumination. However, if let's say for whatever reason, I'm not really sure what the details are over here, but we're not going to light the candle for his coven. For whatever reason. How do I know that? Because we're only lighting it at night, not during the day. So then it's illumination. Then you can make a bracha on it. So if it's besamim that I'm putting into the bathroom, like Febreze, okay? Or it's an oil, it's a fragrant oil, but it's only to get off the bad body odor that we all produce. So you do not make a bracha on that. So the Gemara says, really, this is a rule. The Gemara says, I'll challenge you with a brisa. So you go into the fragrance store, and you're there the whole day. You make one bracha. Now, if you're going in and out the whole day, so every time you go in, okay, good, new opportunity for a bracha. Now, the Gemara's assumption over here is that this fragrance store is selling things like body deodorant and bathroom, right, and bathroom fragrances. That's what the Gemara's assuming right now. And if that's true, so then why would you be making a bracha? The only distinction the Bryce is making is whether it's one bracha or multiple brachas, but in other words, but you're making a bracha. So to which the Gemara says, in l'recha nami hu davidi. The Gemara says, no, you misunderstand. The purpose of the fragrances in these stores is twofold. Yes, it's true they're making fragrances in order to ward off bad odors, but they're also making the fragrances in order to attract customers. Ki hecha denerchu inchi v'nesiv nizba minei. They want the fragrance to go out and attract buyers to come in. It's like me in the bakery. But anyway, the Tana Rabbanan. If you are, let's say, outside the city, again, it's the same construct that we saw earlier. It just simply means that you're unfamiliar. So Imrov of Dikochav in a Mavarech, Imrov Yisrael Mavarech. So if the majority of them are non-Jews, you do not make a bracha. If the majority of them are Jews, you do make a bracha. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afilu Rabbi Yisrael Nami in a Mavarech, Mimnesha Benoist Yisrael Mekatros Lekashafim. Even if the majority of them Jewish. But you know, half the Jewish population is women, and women are involved in sorcery and witchcraft. And I know the Gemara is strange, because the Gemara is saying it's Jewish women that are doing that. That part, yeah, right. That part admittedly is strange. So most of the Jewish women I know are not witches. What?
No, but even most Jews, some of them quit because of the bad smell. So it's not that wrong.
Right.
Most? Aren't you on record?
Well, I'm confused. What does that mean?
Now I'm gonna say to you, If it's for a bad smell, you can use it, right? So even if there are a lot of people are Jewish.
No. If it's not, no. Non-Jews, the Gemara's assumption is that non-Jews are practicing Avodah Zarah with it.
No,
and the Jews who are using it for witchcraft or sorcery, that's also a form of Avodah Zarah.
The fragrant is for hiding a bad smell.
No, but I understand that. But in this brisa, though, that's not the issue. The issue
you
over
don't
here.
Know. You don't know. You're
oh, I see. In other words, you're adding another suffix into the discussion. Okay. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, the Gemara itself acknowledges that even as we said it, it was said way too strong. Meaning, the majority of Jewish women are not involved in sorcery. Let's call it a miut. Okay, 49%. Okay, so let's say it's a minority of the Jewish women who are involved in sorcery. Here's what the Braisa meant. The Braisa meant is that there are multiple minority groups. And what we could do is we could take a collection of these minority groups in order to produce enough of a doubt where I'm not going to make a bracha. And the Gemara, and I know I read it quickly, but the Gemara is basically saying there's a group of women who are practicing sorcery. They're a minority. There's another group of people who are gamers akelim. Now, what does that mean? Is that part of the laundering process is they infuse a fragrance into the garment. But that's not, that doesn't deserve a bracha, meaning it's important. But that's more to ward off a smell than it is to introduce a smell, and therefore that also is not going to get a bracha. And so therefore, when I take these groups and I make a collection of them, I now have enough of a argument to make that we shouldn't make a bracha. Ishtakach ruba delav l'recha avit. So therefore now the majority over here, meaning is some of the minorities, therefore are not making it l'reach, and therefore the v'chol ruba delav l'recha avit lo mevarach. That's what the breaks are meant. I'm Rabbi Chia bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan Malach, Bar Vishabasus Bitveri, Vimotze Shabasus Bitsipori, Vierich Reach. On Erev Shabbos during Tveri, Amotze Shabbos during Tzipori. Right? They're walking distance from one another. And they smell. So there used to be a big laundering event, I guess you would say, or business, that occurred Motze Shabbos. I understand it's a strange time to do laundry on Motze Shabbos. But, okay. So far, we're either in the base measure or we're doing laundry. That's one of the two activities, Motzei Shabbos activities. But anyway, the point is that because the fragrance over there is not for the purposes of lehariach, so therefore you're not going to make a bracha on it. So, Tanu Rabbanan Himalach b'shuk shal akum nisratza lehariach hari zechote. You're walking through a shuk of idolaters. So don't smell. Now, don't smell, what does that mean? Don't breathe. Right, the Gemara over here is really said in short order, meaning that's it. We're not going to explore this anymore. It means that don't intentionally smell. But, okay. Ein mevarchin, let's go on. The Ein mevarchin al haner ad sheyusum. Okay, and now, after lengthy discussions of the summon, we're going to come back to ner. And when do you make the bracha? Okay, that's going to be next topic of discussion. When you get benefit. That's what the Mishnah taught us. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav lo yusu yusu mamash ela kol she'ilu omed b'karva mishamash al rafila b'richuk makom. So Rav Yehuda does a serious redefinition of the Mishnah. It doesn't mean that you actually have to benefit. It means that there's potential benefit. Meaning you see the flame from afar. You're not directly benefiting from it yet, but you could benefit from it. Rashi's expression, I'm reading the Rashi inside, Ashe, second line of Rashi, Ashe oro ro'ui lehanos me'emenu lo'om dim samach lo. So if you were close to it, you would get benefit from it. So from such a light, you're allowed to make a bracha, even though you're not there yet. Now, it's not clear in Rav Yehuda's definition. Does that mean that you're heading in that direction, or just the potential is enough? Sounds like the latter, but I'm not 100% sure. Rav Ashi agrees with this explanation of the Mishnah. Meisve, the Gemara challenges. Haizaloner tumuna b'cheko, o b'panas, panas in modern Hebrew, flashlight. So the haizaloner tumuna b'cheko, b'panas, o shirash, al heves, v'lo nishamish la'oro. So here the Braisa talks about where it's tucked away, meaning that there is a flame, but you're not getting benefit. O nishamish la'oro, v'lo ra'a shal heves. Or you're getting benefit from the flame, but you from the light, but you don't see the flame. So over here, the Braisa says that in order to qualify for the bracha, there must be both. You must be able to see the flame and be deriving benefit from the flame. Okay, now, first, before we ask the question, Just some clarification of some points. I understand benefiting from the light, not seeing the flame. Right. In other words, you and the flame right now are on two sides of the corner. Right. You're on one side of the wall, and the flame is now on the other side of the wall. Not even on the other side of the wall. Just in other words, as the building makes a 90-degree turn, it's on the other side. Fine. So you're going to benefit from the light, even though you don't see the flame. That I get. But you see the flame and you're not benefiting from it. What is that? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what that is. So it means that you're at a distance. It means that you're seeing the flame from afar. So you see the flame, but you're not getting any benefit from it because it's too far from you. And the Braisa says, clearly, you don't make a bracha on such a flame. Now, if this is the correct way to understand the Braisa, Rav Yehuda is in a lot of trouble. So lo kegon de'amya v'azla. So the Gemara says, no, the flame was hidden from you. Meaning the flame itself was actually covered. It's really close to you, but it was covered, but because it was so close, so that's why you got benefit from the light. That's a way to interpret the Braisa. Okay. The simple reading of the Braisa does not support Rav Yehuda, but the Gemara forces a pshat into the Braisa. The Gemara has defended Rav Yehuda. Now the coals. If they are glowing coals, so then you do make a bracha. Omamos, but if they're dying, ain't mevarchin aleim. Hechadam lochshos, am rav chista, kol she'ilo machnes lesochem kisem, v'dolekes me'aleha. So the Gemara says glowing, the definition of glowing, it's funny, the definition of glowing, they glow. But in other words, the Gemara wants to give some sort of it's trying to give a metric. So the Gemara says that if you put some kindle in there and the kindle lights on its own, because the coals are still glowing, that's considered lochshos, and therefore you make a bracha. The Gemara says, is it with an aleph or with an ayin? Now, for the vast majority of us, no difference. We have lost a masorah in terms of making differentiation between the ayin and the aleph. Clearly, in the time of the Gemara, there was differentiation. So Tashma Damar of Chista Barav Dimi Arazim Lo Amamu Began Elohim. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk Yecheskel, and it's very clear from the pasuk Yecheskel that the correct spelling / pronunciation is with an ayin. Rava Amar Os Yeusu Mamish. Now Rava disagrees with Rav Yehuda Merav. Rav Yehuda Merav says potential, and Rava says no, not potential, actual. You have to get benefit from it. Vekama Amar Ula Kedeshiyakir Bein Isar Lepundion. So you have to be able to see the differences between coins. The Isar, the Pundion, different coins. Right? We talked about them extensively in Shkalim. Chizki Amar Kadeshi Yakir Bein Meluzma Shel Tveria, Meluzma Shel Tzipori. Right? Also other types of coins. Rav Yehuda Mavarech Adebe Ada Dalia. Rava Mavarech Adebe Gurya Barchama. Rav Yehuda makes a bracha Adebe Gade Dalia. Rashi over here writes, in terms of Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda would be Mavarech Rashi, I'm reading Rashi, Hayim Mavarech Al Or Shebebeis Ad Dalia, V'richok Mebeis Ohaya. Meaning, he made a bracha on his neighbor's light, even though it was far away. And Rashi points out, this is Rav Yehuda being consistent. Meaning, what did Rav Yehuda teach us in the beginning of this Amud? That you just have to be potentially able to get benefit from it, even though you're not actually getting benefit from it. And Rava Mevarech Adbe Gurya Barchama. Rashi over here says it was close to his house. And this is Rava being consistent because Rava disagreed with Rav Yehuda. Not potential. Actual, you have to actually get benefit from it. Back to the Gemara. Abayim Mevarech Adbe Baravua. I'm Rav Yehuda Adbe Avua. Now, unclear. Is that close? Is that far away? Rashi doesn't comment. Okay, not sure. I'm Rav Yehuda Merav. Ein Machzirin Ala Or Kederech Shemachzirin Ala Mitzvos. The Gemara says that when it comes to the bracha on the fire on Friday, on Motzei Shabbos, so the Gemara basically says, relax. Meaning, if you have a flame, great. And if not, it's also fine. Meaning, this is not like a mitzvah where you have to run after mitzvahs. It's a, now, which category to put it in? That's a little bit unclear. It's a minug. It's a nihug. Not really sure where to categorize it, but the Gemara says it very clearly. Don't put it on the same level as a mitzvah. I'm Reb Zera Mireshava Mehadrana. Reb Zera says that my original approach to the Ner on Motzei Shabbos, I'd be running after it, looking for it. Kevin de Shamanale de Rav Yehuda Merav, Ananami lo Mehadrana, Ela I Miklali Mimela Mevarchina. I took a much more relaxed attitude towards the Ner on Motzei Shabbos once I heard from from Rav Yehuda that you're allowed to take a relaxed attitude. Misha Achal. Okay, we are now up to the seventh machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and that is, you ate, and you ran away from the table, and then, at a later point in time, you said, oh no, I didn't bench. Do I have to go back to the place in which I ate? So machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So, Amar Azvid V'Temer Avdimi Bar Abba Machlokis B'Shachach. Yes, it's a machlokis. But if you forgot, if I've been mazed, Diver Hakol Yachzir Limkoma. But if it's bemezid, you have to go back. Now, I know it always is an oddity when describing the person who did so bemezid. Meaning, what does that mean? Intentionally, he left the table. I know that I'm not supposed to bench. I know I'm not supposed to leave the table before benching. I'm doing so anyway. And now the halacha tells him, oh, now you want to do the right thing? Here's what you're supposed to do. Go back. Now, it's the halacha is addressing a person who, to begin with, wasn't that sensitive to the halacha to begin with. Okay. It's a break in the logic in terms of who the halacha is addressing. But anyway, we're humans, right? That's right. We're humans. The man had a change of heart. He realized he did what he did was wrong. So for him, if he wants to now do the right thing, he's got to go back. V'yivar pshita, the Gemara says, now, isn't that obvious? Meaning, isn't the Mishnah basically say that? V'shachach tanan. The Mishnah talks about the person who forgot. Ma'u detema hu adin afila b'mezid, v'haydik tanan v'shachach, la'udicha kocha de be'shamay, kamash malan. Here's the argument that could have made. Really, the same thing would be true by mezid. What the Gemara wanted to highlight, what the Mishnah wanted to highlight, is that shitas be'shamay is so extreme that even by shachach, you have to go back and eat in the place where you left the table. Tanya Amru Lam Beisila Beishamla Divrecha Mishacha Barosha Bira Vishachach Aviyarad Velo Birech Yachzal Rosha Bir Vivarech. So Beisil says to Beishamai, let's get your position really straight. You were on the top of the mountain. And by accident, you forgot to bench and you walk down now to the bottom. You really expect the person to walk to the top of the mountain? Okay. Amru Lam Beishamla Beisila Divrecha Mishachach Arnaki Barosha Bira Lo Yala Vyelena Lechavod. I'm sorry, Vyelena. Let's say you forgot your wallet at the top of the mountain. Would you go back up to the top of the mountain in order to get your wallet? The honest answer for all of us would be, of course. So now, if that's true regarding the wallet, which is covered atzmo, for kavod shamayim, so don't you think you should go into the top of the mountain? So there were two students. One, it was shogeg, and he still fought like Beis Shammai. Now, the Gemara is telling us a story. It's so interesting the Gemara is telling us a story. Meaning, you would think that Bishogeg, so you follow like Beis Hillel. And the Gemara is telling us a story that somebody followed the opinion of Beis Shammai. Obviously, the Gemara is giving like a slight nod to Beis Shammai Shita over here. Even though, right, generally speaking, we say the halacha is like Beis Hillel, but still, you see the Gemara nodding, inclining to Beis Shammai. You should really try to go back. And this person was rewarded, the story continues, by actually finding Arnika Dittahavi, found gold. Meaning, literally. Meaning, because he was machmir upon himself, so he got rewarded. Again, it's a nod of the Gemara to follow Beis Shammai. So, v'chad avid b'mezid k'beisil v'achle aryeh. Now, one left the table b'mezid. And he did not go back to bench. And still, he was eaten by a lion. Severe story, understandably. But the Gemara just wants to make the point that b'mezid, you have to go back. Rabba Bar Bachana Ava Ka'azal Bishar Yusa Achav Ishtalei V'lo Barech. Gemara tells another story, Rabba Bar Bachana, where he was in a caravan and he ate in a place and he forgot, and now the whole caravan is en route. And now he wants to go back. Now what is he going to explain to the other members of the caravan? You know what? Let's stop. Everybody, let's stop. I got to go back. I got to bench. I forgot to bench in the place where I ate. They're obviously not going to be happy with him. And so this Gemara, I know this Gemara is interesting. I don't have to sell this Gemara. It's interesting. So Amar Hechi Avid Iya Amin Aluhu Inshe Livrech Amar Le Baruch Kol Hechad Mevarches Alarachmana Mevarches Mutav Da. I'm sorry, Larachmana Mevarches. So I know that if I try to tell them, oh, I have to bench, we have to go back. So they'll tell me, hey, I got great news for you. You can bench right now. And as far as God, He can hear you. So you're good. You're good. We all got to move. And mutav da amina lahu inche yona de dahava. So you know what? I'll make up a story. And I'll tell them that I left some sort of gold dove. You'll see why dove in just a moment. But I left a gold dove back there. So you guys understand, right? It's a lot of money. I got to go back. So I'll tell such a story. Amalu incherlin de inche yona de dahava. So that's what he told them. And he went there and he benched and minashamayim, he got rewarded and he was actually given a gold dove. Umayshna Yonah. So the Gemara says, now Yonah, like of all the things that he just gold coins, right? Why gold dove? So dimitli, can I say so Yonah? Because we, the Jewish people, are compared to Yonah. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, Kanfe Yonah nechpe bekesev avrusa biyurak rak charutz ma Yonah einu nitzolos ela bechnafeha af yisoa einu nitzolam ela bemitzvos. The Yonah is saved by your wings. We, the Jewish people, are saved by mitzvos. That's the comparison in Tehillim to us and the Yonah. Ad emasai. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. Until what point in time are you allowed to bench? Now we're talking about the interval of time. So kamashir ikul. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? We're talking about the time that it takes to digest food. I'm Rav Yochanan, kol zman she'eino ra'ev. So Rav Yochanan says, look, it's very simple. If you're still full, you can bench. And Reish Lakish amar kol zman she'yitzma machmas achilaso. And as long as you are thirsty, based on the eating that you did. Am le Rav Yemar ba Shamay la Marzucha, v'am le Rav Yemar ba Shizbi la Marzucha. Mi amar Reish Lakish hachi. So the Gemara says, okay, but I have another memra signed, ascribed to Reish Lakish, which is 72 minutes, the amount of time that it takes to walk 4 mil. So the Gemara says, it depends what kind of meal you had. If you had a really healthy meal, so then the shear is going to be until you're still full. If you ate just a little bit, so there's no metric of being full because you really didn't eat that much. So there are 72 minutes. Balahem Yayin. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. You didn't hear the whole bracha? You're answering amen? Like you didn't hear the whole bracha. So Amar Chia Barav Bishalo Achalimahem. V'chein Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Baravu Bishalo Achalimahem. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. If you want to be Yodse with the bracha, so then you have to hear every word of the bracha. But you didn't eat. You're just saying amen because it's a bracha. And you are now saying amen as a spectator, not as a participant. And so for that, you don't have to hear the whole bracha. So amale rav lechia brei, bri chatufu brech, v'chein amar avuna l'rava brei, chatufu brech. So various fathers gave their sons the advice of, hey, you know what? What's it called? You should be the one benching. Meaning, in the benching event. So there's going to be the bencher, and there's the one going to be the one answering amen. I know I've said this many times, but okay, good. I'm going to repeat it because it's just correct. Back in the day, one person would bench, the rest would listen and answer amen. Bizmana zed, nowadays, everybody benches. When that change occurred, why? I know why it occurred. It's a kavana issue, right? It's hard for us to listen. That's not a new phenomenon. So that's why we all bench. When did it change? That I don't know. But anyway, so what the fathers are advising their kids is you should be on the benching side, not on the answering amen side. So lemeim de maverch adif, miman de ani amen. So the Gemara now has a really interesting discussion of the one making the bracha, one saying the amen, which one is greater? So obviously these fatherly advisements are telling us that the making the bracha is greater. Rabbi Yossi says that the one answering amen is greater than the mevarech. Amalei Rav Nurai, Hashemayim Kenhu. He says that's absolutely right. Teda. So the Gemara says, well, look at army. What do you have? You have the foot soldiers. So they're doing the hard work. They're at the front line. They're doing the heavy lifting of the battle. And then what happens is then you have the big guns, right? I could say that maybe literally. But then you have the big guns coming afterwards, the generals coming afterwards, and they're going to take the credit, and they're going to get the glory of war. Okay, it's a mashal, but the point of the mashal is that, look, I understand, in order to make the bracha, someone has to make the bracha. But the amen, that's like the generals in the back. And they're gonna get the more of the glory. And the Gemara is arguing deservedly so. So the Gemara says, okay, on the front of what's greater, the mevarach or the amen, it's a machlokes. Machlokes tanayim. Detanya echad mevarach ve'echad ona amen b'mashma el shemamar levarach yosem in ona amen. So this brisa tells us that you should be the one making the bracha, not the one answering amen. So we have a conflicting viewpoints of what's greater, amen or the mevarech. And amen after a child make a bracha, good or not good? So he says, look, answer amen to everyone's bracha, but not the children. Why? They're just practicing brachas. Meaning they're not making brachas. I'm not talking about when they're eating. I'm talking about like in school, in yeshivas. So when they're saying the brachas to learn how to make the brachas, so that's just lihislamed. So for that doesn't get an amen. Hani milibidlo idan miftarayhu. That's while they are not saying the haftorah. Meaning because when they're saying the haftorah, they're actually performing a mitzvah. Ava ibi'idam miftarai onin. If they're saying haftorah, so then you answer amen to the bracha. Okay, kitanim used to say haftorah. Okay, and I know in various communities the minhag still continues, right? Ashkenazic circles you don't see that. You see right only bar mitzvah say the haftorah. But back in the day it was given to ketanim. This past Shabbos I was looking up the luach for shul. It said because it's one of the dalet parshios, right? The last Shabbos was shkalim, so it said in the luach don't give this haftorah to a katan. And I'm thinking we never do. And meanwhile, okay. Anyway, Tanu Rabbanan Shema Ma'akev Zabracha Divrei Rabbi Zilai. Okay, you're gonna make a bracha zamazon. Your hands are smelly. You just ate, so put a little bit of oil on. Now the significance of the oil. That's what we're gonna talk about in this last section of the eighth parak. So Shema Ma'akev Zabracha Divrei Rabbi Zilai. Rabbi Zilai says it's Ma'akev. You can't bench without first putting the oil on your hands. Rabbi Zivai Omer in a Ma'akev. He says it's not Ma'akev. Rabbi Acha Omer Shemen Tov Ma'akev. Well, if it's good oil, that for sure is going to hold back. Rabbi Zuhumai Omer, Kishem Shem Muzam Pasul Avoda, Kach Yadai Muzam Mas Psul Labracha. Now, if you are a Kohen that has a particularly bad odor, so that's a Psul, and you can't do the Avoda. Similarly, if your hands are smelly, so you can't bench. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Now, I don't know if you picked it up. I know I'm going really too quickly. But if you picked it up, the names of the Amoraim that are quoted over here, oral or smell related names. Ana. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Ana lo zilai velo zivai velo zumai yadana. I don't know any of that. Ella, meaning I'm not holding by any of that. Ella masisa yadana, but I do know the Mishnah. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Rav Amri. Lab masisa tanavis kadesh tem. Elo mayim rishonim visim kadoshim. Elo mayim achronim ki kodesh ze shemen. Ani Hashem lokechem zu bracha. So the Braisa says that shemen becomes part and parcel of the formula of making a bracha. So fine. So whether it's ma'akev, whether it's not ma'akev, I don't know, but I do know the drasha. Okay, I'd kind of stop over here.